Lord for his blessings and bring us together and to set aside some time to hear from you. I think that's the most important in this life. And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks and praise for your blessings, Lord, on done for us and for calling us to your word in this hour. Lord, it's, the prophet told us many times that this is the greatest time we had a chance to live. It would be now, Lord, where you're bringing your word and your plan to maturity, Lord, to fulfill all the scriptures, Lord, that's been promised. And we give you thanks and praise and help us to please you in all that we say and do in our walk, Lord. May you be glorified this evening as we hear your word. We pray and ask these blessings in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Blessing you have come into his house. Let's turn this song. E flat.
Let us lift up holy hands. changing me and changing you.
Keeps his own word through man. Amen.
That's right.
Let's sing, He is here. Let's see.
See the King.
is in me. Amen. Good to see y'all, and good to hear y'all had a good trip. And it's always good to get out there and get some natural vitamin D. And I guess y'all had sunshine. That's good. And we appreciate the Lord making it possible for us to do those things. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, to you, not only for those things, Lord, but for everything you do, Lord. How you hold our hands every day, Lord, and direct our footsteps. Lord, how you correct us when we're wrong. Lord, how you come up and pour in your word, Lord, that it may cement us in the right. Lord, we're so thankful for all the years, Lord, that you've worked upon us. And Lord, we, as we heard the song there a while ago about the sacrifice, Lord, that it took to bring us those precious words, Lord. Lord, we have a little taste of it in this day, but I really don't, I'm sure, understand what was went through by those messengers and by each age, the persecution that was there, Lord. We see it now, Lord. We can't hardly say what we believe to just anybody in the world. It's like the Christians of long ago had to meet in secret, Lord. Lord, I don't think you're going to have your bride in secret, though, Lord. I think you're going to show her to the world as a judgment, as condemnation, as whatever it might be, Lord. But we thank you for your word and the words that live in us. May they live in complete preeminence, Lord. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I don't think I have a real long message tonight, but I kind of wanted to talk about, we hear people talk about going and witnessing, and you hear people talk about being a true witness, and you heard Brother Branham say those words a good bit. And we realize, as Brother Michael mentioned a while ago, he lives his life in us, that is the true witness. There is only one true witness, and that's God. He makes his own witness. Because what is a witness? It is the word being manifested in front of people. That is the witness. And so I thought we would take this scripture here in John 5. It's a very interesting scripture where Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, or I guess it's the Pharisees. I don't think it just said the Jews. But we know it's those of the priesthood back then. And how he tries to point to them and show them what a true witness is. And how they're not looking at the witness. He's trying to show them. He goes very slowly and very methodically showing them these things. But if people are not ordained to be still and listen, they'll jump all over the place. And we see them jumping all over the place. And we see them missing things here in this scripture. We see them missing things that if they would just have been still for just a minute, they would have saw it. Well, we know it's predestination, but what I'm saying is they didn't have it in them. God did not prepare for them to tell them because they wouldn't. And he showed that with Cain. He didn't prepare for Cain, but then he give it to Cain anyways. Here it is, Cain, take it. And he still refused it because of his pride. God wasn't accepting what he done. And that selfishness, Brother Branham said, if it creeps in just in the slightest amount, it corrupts the whole thing. As we, a little bit of leaven, leavens the whole lump. So, and let's just walk through here kind of like a little study. And I think there's going to be a series on this, the true witness, the not a, the true witness. And we also, as we go along, I want us to pay attention to the true witness. You know, in every age, God had a witness. And that was God, Christ, walking in the candlesticks. That was a witness there in that messenger. And he had a witness in the people who accepted the messenger. But then there is a message, there is a witness that is 100% a witness of God. In no way, because remember how Brother Branham taught on the token? He said, full obedience entitles you to the token. And what was the token? Eternal life. So full obedience entitles you to the token. And in eternal life, when it makes a witness, it's going to be absolute. And so that'll make a little more sense, I think, as we go along here. So let's start in John 5, verse 5. A certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. He'd had whatever this was for 38 years. And Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case. He saw him lying on his bed down by the pool of Bethesda. And he knew by looking at him that he'd been laying there a long time. He'd had this problem a long time. And he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? And the impotent man answered him, saying, I have no man when the water is troubled. And y'all know what the pool of Bethesda was, right? An angel would trouble the water, and whoever touched the water would be healed. And so they would lay around this pool waiting for the water to be troubled. And that's what he's telling Jesus. But see, his faith is he's down there by that water. There's a lot of people down there by the water. But not everyone was going to believe it like this. The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. So somebody gets in the water before him every single time. He's had this for 38 years. I don't know how long he's been laying here by the pool. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. Now, these people have been coming down to this pool because there was nobody like this. There was nobody who could talk to them about being healed and things like that. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. So the Bible's pointing this out for a reason. Not because he was healed on Sabbath, but he's pointing this out that he was toting his bed on the Sabbath. Keep watching, keep looking, because that's work, and you're not supposed to be doing that, according to the Jews. The Jews, therefore, said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. So they're fussing at this man. It's not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. Why are you carrying your bed around? This man's been laying down there sick all this time, and they're coming at him. They're not even looking at the fact that he's raised up now. All they see is he's breaking the law, according to them. It's the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. And there's so many things in the message that's the same way. They won't stop. They see the legal part of something, and they won't look at what God is doing. And then they miss it. And it gets bigger. He answered them, and he that made me whole. So the one who made me whole told me to carry my bed. said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. So he left it in their laps. This man healed me, and he told me to walk, so I walked. Then asked they him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? So who was this that told you to sin? That's what they think. Because we're going to have a talk with him. Completely ignoring the fact that the man is walking. Completely ignoring what God had done. And he that was healed wist not who it was. For Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. So he'd walked away, and the man never knew who he was. And afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple. So this had to be carried out some more. So Jesus found him in the temple, and he found out who it was. And said unto him, behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. And the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus. So now he knew who it was because he'd spoke to him. They wanted to know who it was, so he went and told them, which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus. Now think about that. This man's healed, and they're persecuting him. The only one can heal is God, and they're persecuting him. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him. They're going to kill him because he told this man to pick up his bed and walk. Because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. And so Jesus, realizing that the law is everything to them, and that he's come to do away with the law, he begins to talk to them. Look what he starts to tell them. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. What does that mean? Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him. So he tried to answer them in a real high level type view with no detail much. And they wanted to kill him more because they got something else out of that they didn't like. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them. See, he's bearing with them. But he knows who they are now because what's happened. He knows who he is. He knows he's the anointed one. He's the anointed word taking place in front of them, and they're coming against it. So they've done identified themselves to him. You see that? Now, Brother Branham takes this thought through the message. It's all through the message. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself. He's trying to tell them now. Now listen, I told you that he's my Father and that he worked, he done something, and so I done it too. And this, now I'm telling him, now I'm going to tell you this. The Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. So I'm telling you, the Father done this. That's what he's trying to tell them. The Father done this. You know, they know no man can heal. But what he seeth the Father do, he can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. So here we got a setting that's beautiful. They've identified themselves by coming against the anointed word, and he's showing them how this work took place was because he's the anointed word. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. So he's showing the Son all these things. He's trying to make it clear to them, I'm not acting on my own. I'm trying to get you to see this. Don't look at me and see, talk about not carrying the bed. I'm trying to get you to see who it was told that man not to, to go carry his bed. It was God himself. The Father told him to go carry that bed. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth. Now this is the confidence that we can have in the message today. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. And he's going to show this Son more, and you can marvel even more. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, I'm not sure in this verse if Lazarus had been raised from the dead or not. I would say it's going to happen. For as the Father raiseth up in the dead, up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Because how? The Son seeing the Father do it. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. So however how you treat the Son is how you're treating God. He's committed all the judgment to the Son. Because the Son is just like him. And when you turn the Son down, you turn God down. Let's back up here a second. But hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. Now you talk about a true witness. They are honoring this Son like they're honoring the Father. There's no difference between the two. That's how true this witness is. He's trying to get it to them how true this witness is. How many times did Brother Branham talk about these kinds of things in his message? He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. So he's trying to make it so very clear to them. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on me, him that sent me. If you hear my word and you believe on him that sent me, hath everlasting life. That's the only way it can happen. The only way you can believe on him, believe on him that sent Jesus. What did he say Peter was? Peter, what was the revelation that Peter received? He said, flesh and blood hasn't told you this, Peter, but my Father which is in heaven. And he said, it was the revelation of who Jesus was. And that's what he's saying right here. And believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself. See, he's telling them this voice, these words that are being spoken, the voice, the things that I'm preaching, the things that I'm telling you, it's from the Father and it's life. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. There's a true witness there. And hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. He's given him authority to execute judgment. And where is the bride when she's born in this day? She's born into Christ. She sits in his throne with him. Marvel not at this, For the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. Not just the ones that are walking around. And shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life. And they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So all things have been given to the Son here. That's what he's trying to tell them. Be careful what you're trying to do because of what God is doing in me. Not because I'm somebody. Listen to what he says. I can of mine own self do nothing. So he's telling them plainly, I didn't heal this man. So who did it? As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will. There's that true witness right there. He does not seek his own will. That's why he's the judge. That's why everything is just exactly the way God wanted it. But the will of the Father which hath sent me. That's all he wants. Now listen to what he says next. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. If I'm seeking my own will instead of his will, even in the light, that's what I said a while ago. If that selfishness gets in there in the least little bit, you want your will. I want my will in the least little bit. Then that's what happens. You're not a true witness. Not in this day. He said, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. He's making it so clear to them. He's trying to speak to them. There is another that beareth witness of me. And I know that the witness which he witnessed of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. So you checked with John, and he told you who I was. But I received not testimony from man, but these things I say that you might be saved. In other words, I don't need the testimony of man. God has proven me. He's doing it. He was a burning and a shining light. That's what John was. And ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John. Who do you think made John the way he was? He's trying to point at him and tell him. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me. The works that I'm doing, the Father has given me to do. The works that I saw him doing and I'm doing, they are the ones that bear witness of me. The scripture said that were wrote of him. That the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself which hath sent me. So he's not backing down from their accusations whatsoever. He's telling them exactly the way it is. And the Father himself which hath sent me hath borne witness of me. So he's the one done that while ago, because he sent me and he bore witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time. These men have been in there for years and years. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. He's bearing witness of me, and you've not heard his voice ever. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. See, what I told you a while ago, what he was saying. For, because he said, I'm the one that he sent. I'm the one the Father has sent, and he's vindicated, and he's shown it to be true. And you have not the word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Go read them. They testify of what I'm going to do. And ye will not come to me that you might have life. They testify, the scriptures testify of me, but yet you won't come to me. I receive not honor from men, but I know you that you have not the love of God in you. So in other words, when I'm telling you that you won't see, receive me and the Father sent me, I'm not saying that because I want you to give me praise, give me something. He said, but I know you that you have not the love of God in you. You don't have his word in you. You don't have his love in you, he said. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his name, in his own name, him you shall receive. You won't receive the true witness, you'll receive a false one, because it fits people's ideas. That's selfishness. Brother, until people get it out of their heads that they're going to make something happen. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another? How can you believe which receive honor one of another? Yeah, you think about that one for a long time. How many people want to get honor because they saw this in the message and they brought this out and they done these things? How can you believe which receive honor one of another? You're looking for the honor. You're expecting it. You're trying to get it. And seek not the honor that cometh from God only. Oh, he's put them and he's listed it down to the T exactly what's going on. And he's told them why. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses. So I'm not going to accuse you to the Father. You don't believe what Moses said. In whom you trust. He said he didn't have the word in him. They didn't have the word of Moses in them, or they would have saw that this was that prophet that was going to be raised up. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Well, he brought that down home, didn't he? He didn't mince any words about it. And those words, every age are the same. Even now, they're the same. What's been written of the bride? What's been written of you and I? When we don't see it in our lives, we need to go get it right somewhere. Laodicea Church Age, chapter 9. He reads this scripture here at the beginning. Revelations 3:20-22. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Even as I also overcome and sit down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now it sounds like he's talking to the individual up here at the top, where it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him. But now listen to what Brother Branham says. Now there's a great deal of confusion over this verse, because so many personal workers use it in personal evangelism as though Jesus were at the heart's door of every sinner knocking for admission. This is our verse about Laodicea. It would then be said that if the sinner opened the door, the Lord would come in. But this verse is not talking to individual sinners. Listen to this. This is very interesting. This whole message was a summation, as does every message in every age, or has a summation, as does every message in every age. In verse 22, it says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." So this is the message to the church of the last age. This is the condition of the Laodicean church as its end nears. He's outside. He's pointing this out. He's outside of the church knocking. That's why he's trying to show you that it's not an individual. It's talking about the condition of the church. This is the condition of the Laodicea church as its end nears. It is not a personal message to one person. It is the Spirit telling us where Jesus is. Isn't that something? It's positioning Jesus for us. It's showing us that he's not in the church, that he's outside of the church, knocking. How many people would pick that scripture up and argue because it says right there, very plainly, it says, if any man will answer, I'll come in. And Brother Branham is showing what it says. So this is the message to the church of the last age. This is the condition of the Laodicean church as it end nears. It is not a personal message to one person. It is the Spirit telling us where Jesus is. Christ has left the church. Now think about it. Back when in the first church age, Brother Branham said when they went whoring, when that Nicolaitan spirit was there, what did he say? He didn't leave. He didn't leave. He stayed. But in this age, he's leaving. He's already left. This is not the logical result or end if the word is put aside for creed. I'm sorry. Is this not the illogical result or end if the word is put aside for creed? And that's what happened to that last church age. The Holy Spirit deposed for popes. In other words, they took popes and bishops and presidents and counselors instead of the Holy Spirit. That's what he's saying. And the Savior set aside for a works program. Christ, the Holy Spirit, is set aside for works program. See that self getting in there? Brother Bram said the man always has to do something himself. The Savior set aside for a works program or church joining or some type of conformity to a church system. Conform to this and you got it. Go do this and you got it. When the Holy Spirit set aside, what more can be done against him? What more could be done against Christ than that, he's saying. They've set him aside completely for something else. This is the apostasy. This is the falling away. This is the open door to Antichrist. That's them opening their door to Antichrist. When they set him aside and they took these other things. This is the open door to Antichrist. For if one came in his Father's name, Jesus, and was not received, but rejected. Now he just said, we just read that a while ago when he said, I come in my Father's name and you won't take it, but rejected. Then there will come another with his own name, liar, a pretender, and him they'll receive. Because they still want to receive something about God, but they're not going to take the truth. They can't take the truth. And him they will receive. John 5:43. The man of sin, that son of perdition, will take over. He'll take over the church. That's why Jesus is on the outside. Now listen, he's not done. It sounds like he's still looking for that to happen, or he's trying to place it in the future or something. He's not pinning it down. He's just telling you what it is. But now he's going to tell you what. He's going to pin it down. Matthew 24 mentions signs in the heavens concerning this last day just before Jesus comes. I wonder if you noticed a sign recently fulfilled as to portray the very truth we have been discussing. That truth is that Jesus has been steadily pushed aside all through the church ages until the last age he is pushed outside the church. Recall that in the first age, it was almost a full orbed church. He's talking about the moon, and he's calling the moon an orb, and it was almost a full orb of light. Almost a full orbed church of truth. Almost. The first church age was almost a full orb of truth. Church of truth. Yet, there was a little error called the deeds of the Nicolaitans that kept the circle from being full. What kept it from being full? Them setting aside the Holy Spirit and taking these other things as the confirmation. It's very serious, brother and sister. Then in the next age, more darkness crept in until the ball of light glowed less and darkness covered more of the circle. And in the third age, it was eclipsed still more. And in the fourth age, which was the dark ages, the light had all but gone out, had all but gone. Now think on this. The church shines in the reflected light of Christ. So in no age have they been fully reflecting Christ. Don't miss, that's what I wanted you to catch in this quote. Because what he said in the very first one, it was almost a full orb. But none of them have reflected him in its fullness. The church shines in the reflected light of Christ. He is the sun. The church is the moon. Thus, this orb of light is the moon. It had decreased from almost a full moon in the first age, there he says it again, almost a full moon in the first age, to a sliver in the fourth age. But in the fifth age, it began to grow. In the sixth, it took a great step of growth for it. And in part of the seventh age, it was still growing. In part of it. In part of the seventh age, it was still growing. When suddenly it stopped short and waned to almost a nothingness. So that instead of light, it was the blackness of apostasy. That's what he just said up there a while ago. He's talking about the age. Now he's bringing it down home. He's not leaving it for the future. And at the end of the age, it had ceased to shine, for darkness had taken over. Had taken over. Now watch how he goes back to those messages in Shalom Watch how he goes back there and he starts pointing out when the Pope went to Jerusalem. I don't know how anybody could think the seals ain't open and realize he's left the mercy seat. I don't know how anybody could not, if they would just quit trying to follow the law of it, to quit trying to do this with it, they'd see it. But they had to reject so much to Jesus to stand there and tell him that they ought to kill him for this man being healed and him carrying his bed on the Sabbath. And then coming and saying they wanted to kill him for that. And then when he said he was the son of the Father, they really wanted to kill him then. Now, it doesn't even matter that these people were, that this man was healed, that God, because the only one could do it. Here is the sign in the sky. I mean, let's back up here. At the end of the age, it had ceased to shine, for darkness had taken over. Christ was now outside the church. So he's come full circle from the scripture we read. Now he's back here. Christ was now outside the church. And what put him outside the church? Apostasy. Brother Bram said, at the end of the age, it had ceased to shine, for darkness had taken over. Christ was now outside of the church. The church has went into apostasy. It's went into chaos. The man of sin has taken over completely. Here is the sign in the sky. The last eclipse of the moon was a total eclipse. It waned to a total darkness in 7 stages. Now he's pointing it out because when he did it before the seals were open, he put just a little bit of light. But afterwards, when it showed it in the sky with the moon, it was completely blacked out. It waned to a total darkness in 7 stages. 7 stages it went to darkness. In the 7th stage, the total darkness came as the Pope of Rome, Paul VI, went to Palestine to make a holy tour of Jerusalem. He was the first Pope to ever go to Jerusalem. The Pope is named Paul VI. Paul was the first messenger, and this man goes by that name. Notice it is the 6th, or the number of man. This is more than a coincidence. And when he went to Jerusalem, the moon, or the church, went into total darkness. The church went into total darkness. And think about those messages, brother and sister. When you think about him pinning this down like this, and then him bringing those messages there at the beginning of 1964, it ought to do something to people, to make them realize where we're at. Because that's what the message was for, was to make you recognize your day and its message. Because that's how we are alive in this day, is by that message. Or the church went into total darkness. This is it. This is the end. Now, he wrote this. This was in 65. He said, he's pointing back here at 1964. It's actually, I think it was the last couple of days, the last day or two of 63 is when that eclipse was there. This is it. This is the end. This generation shall not pass away until all be fulfilled. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Now we can see why there were 2 vines, one true and one false. Now we can see why there were 2 vines, one true and one false. Now we can see why Abraham had 2 sons. One after the flesh that persecuted Isaac, and one after the promise. Now, we can see how that out of the same parents, two boys come forth as twins. One, he's talking about Adam and Eve. We can see how through Adam and Eve, two boys come forth. I make sure I got that right, because it wasn't the same parents. I think he's talking about Isaac's, Isaac's children. So I'm sorry. Now he can see how that out of the same parents, two boys come forth as twins, one knowing and loving the things of God, and the other knowing much of the same truth, but not of the same spirit. Esau. And hence persecuted the child that was elect. God did not reprobate for the sake of reprobation. He reprobated for the sake of the elect. Yeah, we can go look up reprobate, but I'm not going to do that. He didn't reprobate for the sake of it. He didn't do it just because that's what he wanted to do to that person. He reprobated for the sake of the elect. Elect cannot persecute elect. Elect cannot harm elect. It is the reprobates that persecute and destroy the elect. Oh, those reprobates are religious. They're religious. They are smart. They are of the Cain line, the serpent seed. They build their Babels. They build their cities. They build their empires. Now, there's a whole lot of Babels, cities, and empires. There's a whole lot of ways to build them. But look what Brother Branham is pointing out. They build their Babels. They build their cities, they build their empires, and all the while calling on God. They hate the true seed, all the while calling on God. And they will do all they can, even in the name of the Lord, to destroy God's elect ones. But they are needed. What is the chaff to the wheat? No chaff, no wheat. But at the end, what happens to the chaff? I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. It is burned with fire unquenchable. And the wheat, where is it? It is gathered in his garner. It is where he is. It's gathered into where he is. O elect of God, beware. Study closely. Be careful. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Let this be important. Let this be reverenced. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Rely upon God and be strong in his might. There, that's the only way we're going to live this life, is if you rely upon God and be strong in his might. As I think it was Philippians, it says, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Rely upon God and be strong in his might. Your adversary, the devil, is even now going about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Watch unto prayer and be steadfast. This is the end time. Both the true and false vine are coming into maturity. But before the wheat matures, those ripened tares must be bound for the burning. See, they are all joining the World Council of Churches. You see how they're bound for the burning? Because they're joining the World Council of Churches. Because they put the Holy Spirit aside and took something else. And that... See, they are all joining the World Council of Churches. That is the binding. Soon the garnering of the wheat will come. But right now the two spirits are at work in two vines. Come out from among the tares. See, here he is placing Christ outside the church. Start to overcome that you may be considered praiseworthy for your Lord and fit to reign and rule with him. Amen. All right, so I'm going to step, this one's going to seem a little odd where it's at, and then we're going to step back into the church ages for a minute before we finish. But I wanted to point out something to you as the individual here, just a little more focused on the individual. See, we don't use the gift of God for a commercial. This is when they wanted him to go down and show them where that oil was. No, no. He could tell me where it was at, but I don't have need of it. I wouldn't even have faith enough to ask him. Why? What did Brother Bram say faith has to have? It has to have a basis. It has to have something to base it on. He has need of it, then he can have faith. I wouldn't even have faith enough to ask him. See, if I had a need of it, I believe I'd ask him. He'd have faith. See, where if he has need, then God supplies your needs. Just believe him and ask him. He'd tell me, but first, you see, your motives and objectives has to be right. Now, here's where I wanted to point out what we were looking at a while ago about that little bit of selfishness. You want this because you want to be known as the one who saw this and the one who brought this and the one who stands for this. And you know, I'm this kind of a man and I'm this kind of a woman and all these other things. They want just a little bit of recognition. It's not the Lord's recognition. Do you see how that is? In this modern day, we see women that try to come in and they want to stand there and say, it was us. We did it. And that's true. But you need, that needs to be a place there. How she was and how he was. And both, if any of us does anything, it's because God done it, period. But it has to be like God has put it. Brother Branham said, the mothers are the backbone of this nation. And that's why we're in such bad shape now, is because we don't have many mothers anymore. I'm trying to get off. Well, that fits. Because you look at the motives and the objectives of people nowadays. I think it was Katrina's telling me somebody left her baby in a play bed, I guess it was, and put bottles in there with it. How old was it? 10 months? And left for 10 days. Because she wanted to go off and do these other things. So selfish. Can't be tied down. Even though it's a human being that she brought into this world, it's her responsibility. This baby has nobody but her. But her selfishness is above it, all above it. The baby passed. It's just awful. I mean, you hear about that kind of stuff all the time now. See, if I had need of it, I believe if I'd ask him, he'd tell me. But first, you see, your motives and objectives have to be right. You have to have reasons for this. What are the reasons? Jesus said his reasons was what he saw the Father doing, he done likewise. That's the only reason. For first you see your motives, but first you see your motives and objectives have to be right. You have to have reasons for this. You don't give, God don't give you those things just because you ask. There has to be a reason why you're asking. What caused it? Who is interpreting their word here? It's God interpreting his word. God don't give you those things just because you ask. And you cannot ask in faith unless there's a real objective, His will, to that, to be in the will of God. See, if you want to be well, what do you want to be well for? See, if you want to be healed, what's the reason you want to be healed? Where did that reason come from? Did God give you that reason? Because the Son said what the Father, what He sees the Father doing, that's what the Son does likewise. There's the reason. See, if you want to be healed, what's the reason you want to be healed? What are you telling God? What do you want to do with your life when you get healed? And anything else, not just healing. See, there's got to be, dot, dot, dot. You've got to have a motive and objective, and you will have one. And those Pharisees, those ones that come after Jesus, their motive was, He broke the law. We're going to fix Him. We're going to show these people how you don't break the law, and this is what's going to happen if you break the law. And even with that attitude, He still stopped and tried to show them. You've got to have a motive and objective, and they have to be right according to the will of God. And when your faith is revealed to you. Did you hear that? Did you hear what He said? You have to have a faith, a motive, an objective, and they have to be right according to the will of God. Not just because He says He's a healer. He said, "Why do you want to be healed? What's the reason? What's motivating you for that?" And when it is, when it's right, then is when the faith is revealed to you. And God, by His sovereign grace, places that faith in there. Then it's over. See, you see, there's God manifesting His word. Amen. All right, so we're going to read this small place here. This kind of goes with the other one we read, but I wanted to get that before we got down into it. Not sure why, I just felt like I should go get that other one. Now remember this, Christ in the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts, but the book of Revelation shows how that the Antichrist spirit would come into the church and defile it. Remember what we were just reading a while ago? Making it lukewarm and formal and powerless. We went into how He was doing that. But look what happens when that happens. When the Antichrist comes in and makes it, shows that and defiles it and makes it lukewarm, formal, and powerless, look what it's doing. It exposes Satan. It shows Satan where he's at. Shows the bride where Satan is at. And that's for a reason. Revealing his works. Attempted destruction of God's people and the discrediting of God's word. That's what's revealed when it goes into this church. When they go in, when the Antichrist comes into them. And look how long it happens. Right down to the time he's cast into the lake of fire, he fights that. He fights you knowing him and knowing his works. That's what Satan's doing. He's trying to keep you from recognizing him. And what did Brother Ram say this age was? The most deceiving age ever. Right down to the time he's cast into the lake of fire, he fights that. He cannot stand that being exposing him. He knows that if the people get the true revelation of the true church and what she is, she knows he ain't this other one that's doing what it's doing, what she stands for, and that she can do the greater works, She will be an invincible army. This is what Satan knows, and it's what he keeps fighting. She will be an invincible army when she recognizes this. If they get a true revelation, now look what he's saying. He's talking about the bride here. If they get, and he doesn't mean, will they possibly not, but he's just saying, if they get a true revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church, and by God's Spirit discern and withstand the Antichrist spirit, how are they going to do it? By his Spirit. Satan will be powerless before her. He don't want to be made powerless. And God come with a message in this day that makes him powerless. The Holy, Brother Bram, go read sometime. Go read the anointed ones and see why he said that God poured out that anointing in the last days. And the message called false anointed ones. Go see why he said that happened. And think about the fact that they're both coming to maturity. And that when she gets this revelation, Satan's powerless. He has no effect on her. Powerless before her. He will be as definitely thwarted today. How thwarted will he be? As when Christ withstood his every effort to gain power over him in the desert. That's how powerless Satan will be. He was powerless with Jesus. He'll be powerless with this church. Oh, man. Yes, Satan hates revelation, but we love it. With true revelation in our lives, the gates of hell cannot prevail against us, but we will prevail over them. Amen. I just love that message. It's so good. You know, I watched, and I don't know how I thought about this. Sometimes I'll watch those guys on the internet that do the metal detecting, and they'll go around and they'll find a whole bunch of stuff. And then several years later, they'll come back to the same spot and they'll use the metal detector again and they'll find more stuff. And it's old stuff. So it didn't appear in the years they were gone. It was there all the time. And I just happen to think about that because every time you go back to the message, there's still more there. There's more there that God has uncovered. And you see it. I don't know if the rain does it or the earth shifts or what. I don't know how they find it then and didn't find it before. But it's just, it's good to always go back, go back, go back. It never gets old. And we thank him for it so much. We'll ask if you'll stand. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are so thankful, Lord, how you watched over us, Lord, all the years of our lives, many of them us having no idea, Lord, not realizing, not knowing anything, Lord. Maybe even along the way thought we were serving God, thought we were this and that, Lord. But you all the time had it all laid out how it was going to be. And we're so thankful, Lord, that we are not like the ones we read about tonight that was coming against Jesus. But Lord, make us patient and wait and see what you're saying and know by revelation, Lord, knowing that you promised to give it to us. For those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall fill them. And Lord, you do it. And we're so thankful for it. And we pray, Lord, you'll go with us from here. And you'll keep us, Lord, till the next time we come together. Keep our brothers and sisters, Lord. Watch over each one. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.